Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Tonight, as we continue in this study that we've called Life in the Spirit, tonight I just want to talk about these two words, be filled, and we're going to find them in Ephesians 5. But as I said, before we go there, I want to go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Where we were told to put on the whole armor of God. And I just want to hit something else on this tonight. And I'm not going to claim that this was original. I heard it from another pastor. I thought, oh, that's so insightful. And so I want to share something of what I heard from another brother. So last week we looked at spiritual warfare. We identified the equipment or the armor that Paul told us to put it on. And you remember it, don't you? And so as he said, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand. You're going to love this phrase. You might not like this phrase, but you might. So that you'll be able to stand in the evil day. How many of you have experienced the evil day? Anybody ever experienced the evil day? Maybe it's the evil day when your life falls apart. Maybe it's the evil day of a profound loss. But it's a day where you feel like, I don't know if I'll survive this time of loss or distress or whatever it might be. But he said, put on the whole armor of God. And the idea is if we don't put on the armor, if we don't put it on, we're liable to get knocked down in the evil day and not be standing at the end of that day. I think it was the old Living Bible, not the New Living Translation, but the old Living Bible. Anybody remember the Living Bible when it came out back in the late 60s, early 70s? And it says something like this. In that evil day, when the battle is over and the dust settles, you will still be standing. You're not going to be able to avoid days of battle. Days of battle are coming. They're coming whether you're ready for them or not, whether you like it or not, whether you believe in it or not. The evil day is coming for all of us. And it really speaks about that evil day that's sourced in the evil one that wants to destroy us. He prowls about like a roaring lion. He's not a lion. He's more dangerous than a lion. He prowls about looking for those that he might be able to devour. And if we're not on our guard, and if we haven't put on the armor, then we're liable to become a casualty. So let's take a quick, and I mean a really quick look at this again. I'm not going to teach back through it again. I just want to itemize these. We looked at this. He said, put on truth, put it around your waist. And then he says, put on righteousness, which is protecting your chest. Put on the gospel of peace, like boots on your feet. He said, get dressed up in all of this. And then he says, put on faith as if it were a shield. Put on your salvation, your helmet. Salvation, put it on as a helmet, protecting your mind, which is so often the battlefield that the enemy aims at, isn't it? Where he sows fear and depression and discord, and so much of it is up in our minds. Then he says, put on God's word. Strap that sword on to your side and get ready for the battle. And then the last thing he mentions, he says prayer. And he doesn't say put it on like another piece of clothing, but he said pray, put on prayer as your direct line of communication with God. You are directly connected with God. You don't have to go through a secretary. You don't have to get an appointment. He said, just come. And so there's something beautiful about the way that Paul just thought all of this through. And it's all about how to stand in that evil day that we all have experienced, whether it's been recently or not. And like I said, there's other evil days that are coming. But the armor is the answer to the evil day so that you and I will be standing. Now, that's a lot to remember, isn't it? Put on the truth. And put on, say them with me, okay, from the top to the bottom. Put on the truth, put on righteousness, put on the gospel of peace, put on faith, put on salvation, put on God's word, and pray. Now, that's a lot to remember, okay? I'm going to take it off the screen. Don't look down at your notes. And go ahead and recite all those words out loud right now. Truth. I got a truth. I got a righteousness. Gospel. Yeah, how many of you are struggling? Yeah, that's a lot to remember. The sword of the Spirit, faith, helmet of salvation, got the loins. Yeah, you got it. I'm hearing them all. But the thing that this other pastor mentioned is that's a lot to remember. And you find yourself in the evil day. It's like, oh, wait a minute. Which piece am I supposed to put on right now? And here's what he brought up. And I really love this. Paul, when he wrote to another church, another group of Christians in Rome, far away from Ephesus, almost at the other end of the Mediterranean Sea, he didn't list all this armor, but he said, put on something. You know what he said? He said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Well, Paul, why didn't you tell the Romans to put on the helmet, salvation? Why didn't you tell them to gird their loins with this and put this over their chest? Why did you short sell them? He didn't short sell them. Because the truth is, when it comes down to the armor, all of them are a reference back to Jesus. It's all about putting on Jesus Christ. Look at this. Romans chapter 13, Christ is the full armor of God. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when you put on that, when you gird yourself with truth, you're putting on Jesus to stand in the truth. Righteousness, Christ is our righteousness. The gospel of peace, Jesus said, I'm going to give you my peace, not your flimsy peace, but I'm going to give you my peace that's going to stand in the worst days. And by the way, they had watched Jesus stand in peace when he knew that the evil day was coming for him. The worst, far more evil than any evil day that you and I will ever experience, when he was loaded up with all of our sin and the peace. He said that night at dinner, my peace I give to you. Not like not the peace the world gives. And he could have said, watch me now, as he willingly walked out and he willingly let himself be bound up and willingly tried from one court to another court and then willingly nailed down, gave his head to the crown of thorns and maintained his peace, so much peace he could say to the Father, Father, forgive them. They don't know. I wouldn't, let me tell you something, no offense, I would not have been thinking about you if I was on the cross. I'd have been thinking all about me and the pain that I was in. But Jesus, however painful it was, and trust me, it was painful, man, he had his peace and he kept his peace. So the gospel of peace, it's Jesus who gives us peace. Faith, Jesus said, believe in God, believe also in me. We don't have faith in our faith, we have faith in the one that we trust in Jesus Christ. Salvation, Jesus is the author of our salvation. It's all about him. God's word, Jesus said, or the Gospel of John says, he was the word of God that was made flesh. Do you see how it all comes back to it? All relates to him. It's all attached to him. And prayer, he said, come to the Father in my name. So all of this is all about him. So daily we put on Jesus Christ, the truth that's in him and the righteousness that's his, he gives it to us. And so if you can't remember, okay, was it righteousness? You remember Jesus. Can you remember Jesus in the evil day? You come running to him. If you can't remember, oh, it's peace, but put on Jesus. Garment after garment, item after item of all of this, it is all about him. Jesus is the key to standing in the evil day and triumphing in the evil day and winning souls in the evil day that we'll find ourselves in. So acknowledge his presence and thank him for all that he is. The devil may not tremble at me and you, but he has to obey Jesus. He has to obey Jesus. That's an amen point right there. He has to. And if we hide ourselves away in Christ and we put on Christ as all of that armor, we're doing all that we have to do to stand. So as Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 commands us, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Don't make a big deal about yourself, but make a big, big, big deal about Jesus in the evil day, on the way into it and on the way out of it. So be filled with his Spirit. So that's where I want to take you next. In Ephesians, did I do that fast? I think I did that pretty fast. And I just wanted to add that layer in because it meant so much to me when I heard it this week. But in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to verse 21. Let me get my Bible to the right page here, and I'll meet you right there. And let's move a little bit further. And we are going to take, by the way, I have been promising that we were going to do a four-part series on the Holy Spirit before we started Resonance. We're not going to have 4 weeks to do it, because we have one more week that we're going to come together on this theme of the Holy Spirit, you and I in the Holy Spirit, walking with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, growing in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. I just felt like God said, that might have been your schedule, Bill. That's not my schedule to break and go to that. But we will do a very brief introductory series on, what did I say? On the end times prophecy. And we're going to get to that before Resonance starts. And then when we come out of the summer, we're going to get back into that, an extended series on prophecy, especially focusing on the end times. So chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 15, follow along with me. You're going to see the verse that we're after right in the middle of these several verses. It says this, "See then, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Let me pause there for a second. Circumspectly means you just keep your eyes open all the way around you. How many of you wish you had eyes in the back of your head? How many of you had a teacher that you're sure she had eyes in the back of her head? When she was up writing on the board, she knew exactly what Billy was doing in the back with his buddy Daniel. We were getting in trouble. But to walk circumspectly means, you know, keep your eyes on your environment. Keep your eyes open to what's going on around you. So walking circumspectly, redeeming the time because the days are evil. There it comes again. "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Would you read those last six words with me? "But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." That's what we just did. "Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." And then every husband's favorite verse is right after that. "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." And then Paul goes to work on the men with a whole lot more than just submit to one another. He's saying to the men, "I'm not asking you to submit to your wife. I'm asking you to die for your wife. Lay down your life for your wife." So I want to ask you this evening, and I hope that this whole series on life in the Spirit has been an effective tool for you to raise your expectations on what it means to live in the presence of the Holy Spirit and to live in partnership with the Holy Spirit and to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I did not purposely alliterate all those with a P word, but to understand that you do live in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and to be aware of that, and to be willing to be a partner, to walk in partnership with what the Holy Spirit wants to do in you and through you to touch so many other people, and to experience, take it for granted. In other words, I mean, trust that this is true, that the power of the Holy Spirit is available to you, and it's extended to you, it's extended to me, so that our lives can make a much greater difference than any of us ever thought we could. So I really want to ask you to raise your expectations about the daily and constant presence and power of the Holy Spirit within you. And I want to ask you to stop being afraid, if you are, there might be some, to stop being afraid of falling into something that is crazy or bizarre or just odd, because you've heard of people doing that. "Oh, are we going to get weird at Refuge? Is Refuge about to go cuckoo in the name of the Holy Spirit?" Well, we will do all that we can to lead away from cuckoo-ness. Is that a word? Let's submit it to Webster's. But to lead away from that, but to lead into a place where we're just trusting God to work through us, to use us as the tools he wants to use us for. The Holy Spirit will lead you into holiness, not craziness. He'll lead you into an effective life of serving Jesus. He'll lead us outside of our comfort zones. Are you okay with that? Not so much, but are you willing to move into new territory with him and move in certain ways that maybe you haven't before and trust him as you become an outreach? Churches are always organizing outreaches. That's great to have events where we can invite people in, but you are an outreach. You're meant to be an outreach, a daily outreach. I probably told you this story before, but a friend of mine who was a pastor up in the Pacific Northwest, a new person had started coming to their church, and she came up to him after the service one Sunday morning and said, "Do you have a visitation program here or visitation team?" And he said, "Yeah, we do. We do, and it's probably one of the biggest ones that I know of." And she said, "Oh, great." And she reached into her purse and she took out a long list of people that needed to be visited. And my friend Jerry, he looked over the list and he said, "That's your assignment this week." And he gave it right back to her. He said, "Now go visit these people. I authorize you in the name of Jesus Christ as our visitation team to go and touch these people and pray with these people and pray over them and speak the word of God to them." So I am praying that God is going to expand our impact in the cities that we live in and take us outside of our comfort zones into the kingdom zone, where he'll set up encounters, he'll set up opportunities, where people get set free, where minds are restored and relationships are restored and souls are saved. And whatever questions can be answered, get answered. And I'm praying that this will change our expectations about being used by God in an everyday fashion, that it'll change the way we serve the Lord and it'll change us from the inside out. Hold your place here, if you would. Turn back to 1 Samuel with me. 1 Samuel. Now, this is an odd verse in the middle of the book 1 Samuel, actually towards the beginning of it. And you remember what happened here in Samuel's day. I'm sorry, did I say verse 7? Or chapter 7 is verse 10. Maybe I said 10. But this is the point where Israel demanded a king. They already had a king. The king's name was Yahweh. And Samuel comes complaining to God. He's just so, you know, worked up over they're rejecting you. And God says to Samuel, "Well, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. So let's give them what they're asking for." And so they found their king and they brought their king Saul to Samuel for the anointing. And it says this down in chapter 10, verse 6. And this, I'm jumping into the middle of this, but this is what Samuel is saying to Saul as he anoints him with the oil. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you." Imagine Saul standing there, oil is dripping down off of his hair and onto his garments and down to the ground. "The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you," just like this oil. "And you will be, and you will prophesy with them." There's a band of prophets that are there. They've just encountered. "You will prophesy with them," and listen to this, "and be turned into another man." You're going to become a different person. I believe that's true when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and I. And it doesn't always come with any kind of a sensational, emotional feeling. But when the Spirit of God comes down upon me and he comes down upon you, it turns us into a different person, empowered now by the Spirit, with a call, with a you know, daily assignments to step out into the circle of influence that we all are already in. You don't need to move anywhere but where you are right now. You don't need to find some new environment in which to really dynamically and passionately serve Jesus. You're already in that environment. Do any of you live around people? Do any of you work around people? Do you ever go to the beach and the beach is full of people? And do you ever go watch the Lakers beat the, well, let's not go there tonight, but they did it last night. Do you ever go to a sporting event? Are you there all by yourselves? You know what I'm saying. I'm sorry for being ridiculous. But you're already stationed. But you become a different person under the leadership of and with the filling of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. What do you notice about that, just the construction of that sentence that Paul says to his friends in Ephesus? He puts some pressure on them. He doesn't say, hey, you're already got it all. You're already filled. He said, be filled with the Spirit. And the verb that's behind that is one of those interesting Greek verbs. It's called a present progressive. It's happening now. Let it keep happening. Be, and it could be literally translated like this. There's one fascinating translation of the New Testament called the Kenneth Wiest. Wiest is spelled W-U-E-S-T. If you can find it online, I don't even think you have to buy them anymore. You don't have to buy anything anymore, any books anymore. You can find them all online. But Kenneth Wiest translates that this way. He was a Greek scholar, and he says it should be translated, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. You are filled. Continue to be filled. In other words, be open to the filling of the Holy Spirit. Be open to that infusion of his power. I want to say this, and I want you to give me time to explain this, because it's going to sound a little weird to sci-fi buffs, okay? The Holy Spirit living in me is a combination of a couple of things. It's obviously the willingness of God, but it's also the willingness on my part to be a host, a host. And it's in, sometimes in sci-fi, you know, movies, the poor, you know, human being has become a host for a presence of something else. Well, in a real sense, that's what we are. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're hosting the Holy Spirit. What do you do when you host somebody? You open your doors to them. You say, you're welcome here. So when we say, you know, we get to be a host, we get to be a vessel, a person, a being created by God to be filled with the Spirit, to convey something of God's love and his truth and his maybe his deliverance to someone who's bound, who's in bondage. Maybe we get to be someone who kind of brings the key that unlocks the prison door, and that person gets to go free when they hear the gospel, and life becomes different for them. So when the prophet said to Samuel, you will become a different person, and he did for a while. And then you know what happened way down, it wasn't even towards the end of his life. I mean, he blew it really bad. And it says the Spirit of God departed from him. And so when David is in his dark days, when the evil day hit David and David did not resist it, you remember that? This was with Bathsheba. And he wasn't an old man by that time. I found myself a few years ago just really wanting to study what the Bible said about the sins of old men that brought them down. Because one of these days I'm going to be old. Oh, I was hoping nobody would laugh at that, but it is laughable. My driver's license says that I am a senior citizen. But I just really wanted to give attention. What is it that brings old men down? What are the distractions that get them? And David was not an old man when he fell with Bathsheba. But what did he say in Psalm 51 when he was coming back to God? After his friend, the prophet Nathan, he said, you're the man, David. And he tells him the story, and David gets all upset. Oh, whoever did that, whoever, you know, dishonored his neighbor like that, that person should be killed. And his friend said, well, you're the man, David. You're the one that did that, who dishonored his neighbor by taking his wife. And then you kind of dishonored him by having him killed too, David. And what did David say in Psalm 51, verse 11? He said, oh, Lord, please don't take what your Holy Spirit from me. I think he was kind of trembling when he wrote that. Why? Because he saw what happened to Saul when the Holy Spirit was lifted from him. Does that make anybody tremble a little bit? I want you to turn in your Bible to John chapter 14 with me. Because what David was worried about, I don't think he needed to be worried about it. It was a very different situation with Saul. He was taking from him the mantle of the leadership of his people. But in John 14, listen, Christian, if there's any Christians here tonight, I'm pretty sure that's who we got here tonight. And any Christians listening, and you wonder, oh, have I sinned so badly against the Holy Spirit that he's left me? I tell you, if you're feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit, then he's still with you. He's still upon you. He's still in you. And it says this. I'm not going to read the whole passage, but he says in verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Read with me if you have it out loud now. That he may abide with you, what? Forever. Forever. You who have placed your trust in Jesus Christ and have become children of the living God, he's not going to lift his spirit from you. He's not going to take it away from you. He's in you and he's with you. You don't have to worry about losing the Holy Spirit. He is with you and he is upon you. So go back to Romans, and we're going to spend some time in prayer this evening. And I want to pray for anybody here tonight that you're at a place where you know in your heart, I'm ready, God. I'm ready. I want to be filled with your Spirit. I'm going to give you a time, a moment to be praying about that too. And just to give your attention to the Lord this evening and say to him, God, I want everything that you have for me. Whatever gifts you want to give me, that's fine. But Lord, would you fill me with your Spirit? Because I want to be an agent for you in this broken world and in this crazy world. It's not just broken. It's a pulverized world that we live in. And you are the agents of the King that created it all. And you're on his team at this time towards the end of the last days that we're living in. I please don't take this as a trite statement. It might sound a little bit clever, but I don't mean it to be anything but taken seriously. I do believe that we're living in the last of the last days before Jesus Christ comes for his church. I completely believe, I'm completely convinced by what I read in Scripture, that before what the Bible tells us about the great tribulation that will come upon, the Bible says that will come upon the sons of disobedience, the children of disobedience, who have rebelled against and rejected God and turned the world into what? A death trap that it is today. I believe that his people, his church, the bride of Christ, will be taken from the planet before those 7 years of tribulation happen. I think the Bible is very, very clear on that. I know there's wonderful people who disagree with me, and I'm not going to make any smart remark right now. But I do believe that. And so here's the statement, and I want you to live like this is true. There's still a work to be done on this planet, isn't there? There's still a work to be done in this city. Joy and I were driving around the other day. We're listening to I think it was a CD that I put together for Warren Duffy. A lot of you guys remember Duffy. He became like a dad to me in the last years of his life and just a great impact on my life. But I put together a set of songs on a playlist for Duffy when he was in his last days, and just, you know, comforting songs. And I knew he loved Robin Mark, who was a worship leader, songwriter from Ireland. And both Duffy and the Welsh family, we trace our roots back to Ireland. But the one of the songs of Robin Mark was Come Heal Our Land. You can look it up. Robin Mark, Come Heal Our Land. And we're praying that way. God, heal our land. And I would love it if everything turned around and the world became sane again. Can I tell you, I'm not expecting that to happen. I believe that God is about to say time's up. And here's a statement. I think it's very, very likely that we, as sons and daughters of the living God of all ages in here, that we are likely the last team on the field before he comes for his church. And we still have a work to do. And it's one of Robin Mark's songs, another one that you would love, and maybe we'll sing it next week. I'm going to sing it for you right now. Just a little bit of it, but it goes like this. It's a verse you know. No, not by might, nor even power, but by your Spirit, O Lord, healer of hearts, binder of wounds, lives that are lost restored, and flow through this land until every man praises your name once more. And the work God wants to do through us is not going to be by our might or our power or our cleverness or our programs or our facilities. It's going to be through the Spirit, by the Spirit, in cooperation with the Spirit as we walk in the Spirit and become the children of God that he's called us to be, that are available to him day in, day out, every day. Are you still in Romans? Are you still turned there to Romans? When he says this in verse 11, where he says, and do this. What's this? It's Romans 13. He says, do this, knowing this time that now is high time to awake out of sleep. What is this doing this? You back up to the beginning of the chapter and he says, be subject, all of you. Be subject. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God. He says, so don't go battling against your government and try to bring them down. He said, be subject. And this is under Rome with crazy Nero. Verse 7 says, render therefore to all their due. This is part of the do this, do this, do this. He said, don't go to war against the government. And he says, render to everybody what they're due. Pay your taxes. Don't owe anyone anything except love. And love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm in verse 10. And then he says, and do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. See, this had an end times emphasis to it. Be filled with the Spirit because of the times that you live in. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let's put on the armor of light and let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not lewdness and lust. Oh, man, we're kind of describing the world we live in, aren't we? Not running in lockstep with the world around us. Everyone's doing it. We might as well do it. Not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk in him. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't let your life be wasted away. Be filled with the Spirit and wade into this broken world and make a difference in it. It's going to change the way that we serve the Lord. As we're full of the Spirit, it's going to change us from the inside out. And you and I don't have to worry. Thank God, we don't have to worry about ever losing the Spirit of God because he's with us. Let's just cooperate with him. Amen. I'm going to ask Jesse and the band to come back out. I thought the little button that we press was here, and it's not here. The button is gone. You wondered how they mysteriously showed up, didn't you? We have a button. But I want to pray for you as the guys come back out. And we've got some time to wait on the Lord. And if anybody tonight wants prayer, it's not a counseling time, it's a prayer time. But if somebody wants prayer this evening for, maybe it's for healing, or maybe it's a surrender, or maybe you want to be prayed for to be filled with the Spirit, and tonight is the night that we can do that. We've got some time. So I want to pray, and then as we go into a time of worship, I'm going to, if any of the other leaders, Mike, if you want to come up too in just a minute, and enjoy if you got if you can come up too, and any of the other leaders that are here, if Pastor Jeff and Pastor Shaddy can hear me, wherever they are, I want to just be available to you for prayer for whatever it is you need right now. If you're ready to say, oh God, fill me with your Spirit and take me deeper. I want to abide in you and walk with you and be a vessel through whom you can touch this world. So Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for this call. And you kind of put the finger on us, Lord, to be filled. You're ready to fill us, Lord. I know even right now, Lord, you're so ready. As we maybe come to the end of our strength and even the end of our own wisdom and the end of our own ideas on how to make things better in our lives or in our families or in our community, Lord, we thank you that we've come to the end of ourself. And it brings us to the place where we're trusting in you now. So, Father, I pray for a hunger in our hearts to be filled with your Spirit, to be being filled with your Spirit day by day, Lord. Every single day, just saying, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, fill me. And oh God, I pray that hunger would rise up and we wouldn't be able to push it away. So Father, would you meet us in this moment here tonight? Start something new in us, Lord, that becomes a pattern in our life, to just stubbornly continue to keep coming to you, willingly and excitedly to come to you, knowing that if we ask for your Spirit, you said you would give it. Oh, Lord, thank you. You said you'd give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. So we're going to ask right now, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So as we're singing, if you want to pray right where you are, you can do that. But if you want us to pray for you and lay hands on you and pray for healing or direction, whatever it might be, we're going to do that for a little while. So if you have a need, then come on up and we'll be up here at the front. Grace and peace to you. Walk with Jesus. Walk in the Spirit. Bless you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.